Underlay, underlay.
I guess that's different to hello.
It is.
Hello, another episode.
Hello.
Where were we today?
Short Hills Provincial Park. Is it a provincial park?
It is, yeah. It's, I believe it's part of the Ontario Parks, I think.
Which would be provincial.
Yeah. So, I see. You're funny. There's provincial, there's whatever, regional, there's Niagara Parks, there's... So, yeah, Short Hills Provincial Park. We've been here once before, earlier in the year, last year.
Have we really not been back since?
No.
Not even you?
No, and I didn't like it the first time. So, yeah, and I haven't been back since, and I went back today and I didn't like it, so...
Whoa. How do you really feel?
And we didn't do as much as we did last time.
No, I liked it the first time a lot more than this time. Not to say that I didn't like it, but I'll get to what I think about it in more detail in a moment.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, good place for a walk. It is one of the places where you can ride on some bits of the Bruce Trail. So there's a trail called Black Walnut, half of which is rideable, half of which is a walking trail. And then, yeah, there's a couple of other trails. There's like a loop that we did, which we did last time. But it's, some of it's the Bruce Trail, and then some of it goes to Swayze Falls, which was not running today, which was a bit bizarre. It was dried up.
Oh, the falls weren't running. Well, I was just going to say when about the trail called Black Walnut, when you were talking to the Welsh lady about, I just heard Black Walnut, forgetting that the trail was called Black Walnut, and I thought you guys were talking about black walnuts and you'd found some or something. So I got a little crisscrossed with my edibles and trails, which did amuse, if no one else,
yourself.
Myself.
We parked off of Rowland Road. Actually, no, we didn't. Correction. Rowland Road is where we parked last time. This time, we parked off Pelham Road, which I believe is car park number 3. And they all look the same, which is interesting.
Which I do think we said last time, too.
Yeah.
Because didn't we even, like, emerge at another car park thinking it was ours, and then it wasn't?
And it wasn't, correct. So, Black Walnut, we started on. We did a tiny bit, and then we took a right onto the trail for Swayze Falls. Either direction you do that trail in, if you do the Bruce to the, well, you'd be coming up to it, it would be the left, or if you do the Swayze Falls to the right, either way, parts of it, you're going the wrong direction, it's too steep.
Right, and I did, at least for entering onto the Swayze Falls trail, the way in which we did it today, it's tricky, like I wished that we were going the other way, but I can also appreciate what you're saying, that many other parts of the trail then are not so cool going the other way. Like, there's not a great... If there's a great direction to go on that trail, I'd certainly...
Well, last time we walked a lot more than we did today. We only walked one hill today, I think, out of sheer inability to get up it. But last time we walked a lot more because I think going in an anti-clockwise direction around the loop... It's okay in a clockwise direction. I think it's... I just don't see how you'd get the speed even if you knew it, because some of those ups are just too up. But like where we bumped into that walking part, you'd never ride up where we were coming down. It's too steep, right? So my advice, if you're new to the area, if you're somebody that lives down here and rides it all the time and is listening to this going, no, you go the other way because there's a shortcut or something, then great, drop me a note. But if you're new to the area...
Like us.
So you come from the car park on Pelham Road, down Black Walnut, there's a right-hand turn for Swayze Falls. Take the Swayze Falls trail, which might mean a little... few steps of pushing your bike unless you have a bit of a run up at it, and it's weird because you have to go past it, turn around and come back to get a run up,
which is what we did.
Not enough of a run up because I ended up pushing up there. it's quite twisty and turny, but it is the better way to do it, I think, and it's relatively navigation free. There's one area where there's another car park And there's like a road that you can just find yourself on. I missed the turn. And you actually follow the Bruce Trail, Swayze Fall signs, and you'll be fine. But it is a bit tricky. You kind of come down a hill over a bridge and then you need to take a left. And the natural thing is to just go straight on. And that was where we parked last time when we started heading up that hill and we turned round. That was where we parked last time.
Right.
That's a bit on the navigation thing. And then you can ride Black Walnut. The way I would do it, if I was going to do it, would be Black Walnut, Swayze Falls, round the Bruce Trail, back onto Black Walnut, do the other bit of Black Walnut that you didn't do, and then you're going to have to ride on the walking trail to finish the loop or come back the way you came. So it's like a figure of eight if you do it two loops.
Right.
And then you can access 12 Mile Creek trails that Black Walnut loop, but there is a big chunk of it that's designated as a walking path, and I think I got scolded twice today for riding on walking trails, which weren't walking trails, they were riding trails. But people generally on the Bruce don't think bikes should be allowed, so on the bits where bikes are allowed, just slow down a bit and be prepared to explain yourself or not, depending on how you feel.
Fair enough. So is this it that I'm seeing on the map for short hills, for mountain bike trails?
That's it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So all the other places are like 12 Mile and connected to...
12 Mile, yeah. So that joins. 12 Mile comes down and then into the top of short hills and then... Yeah.
So it's just the two loops?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. I don't know why. I was under the impression that there was many more trails there that we hadn't yet explored.
There's a lot of side trails, but they're walking trails.
Right.
There's a couple of riding trails. And I think if you do both loops, you're getting on for like 8 or 9 miles. So it's not nothing, and it's pretty up and down.
Yeah.
But if you're going to ride the two loops completely, I'd probably try and do a weekday or early on a weekend. We were a bit earlier this morning and it started off fine, but it definitely got busier even when it was rain and thunder and lightning. We seem to run into a lot of people, so...
I was thinking about the nice lady... Side note. I was thinking about the nice lady from the Italian coffee shop here in town today that said she doesn't like thunder and lightning and that there's not much of it here in Welland.
Was today.
Yeah, there has been a lot lately. And I keep thinking of her, thinking, I hope she's okay.
You better go and see her, because she ordered banana ice cream
She
for
did
you.
Hopefully order banana and hazelnut for me.
So, on the short hills thing, I said I didn't like it the first time.
Right.
I didn't like it the first time because I felt unprepared, and the navigating was hard, and we ended up on the walking trail, and that was that.
I made you stop 20 times for onions and leeks and God knows what else.
And I didn't like it this time because I found the navigation much easier, but the surface is horrible. It's been ridden a lot in the wet, and then that's when you get those ruts that people don't like because it's not loamy because a lot of it's out in the sun. So then it gets sunbaked, which is what happened today. And then you're riding on a day like today where it's all sunbaked and rutted and like riding on lumpy concrete. And then it rains and it becomes like an ice rink and it's just unpleasant and difficult. So that's why I don't like it. However, there are a few bits of it where the descents are pretty cool and it is quite interesting. But on two of the best descents in there, I ran into walkers coming the other way, which is fine. And then a walking party that just would not shift, like 20 people or something. And then, you know, you end up right at the kind of crux of where you're trying to go down and there's people scrabbling out the way. It's just not what I want to do. I'd rather be riding where there's less people, as everybody knows, just because I don't enjoy the having to rethink my ride every 5 minutes. So,
or like you say, stop in the middle of a downhill, which is
sweated all the way up a hill, and then we were going to do Black Walnut, but then the thunder and lightning came in, so we rode back up the hill we came down, which was a bit of a challenge for me anyway. It's a bit of a slog, that steep hill out of there, and we went for tacos, but that's a whole other thing. But Jessica, we did find Snow White and three dwarfs.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Well, you did.
Which was a bit peculiar. And I did spend a bit of time looking for morels myself, but Jessica had a bit more success, not necessarily on the morel front.
I would say that absolutely it is stunning forest and woods. Like, it really is spectacular. But honestly, I left there today thinking, I think that this place, I'd prefer to walk and hike around it as opposed to ride. I think I would have a more pleasant experience. So same thing for me with that surface, is just like, whoa, vibration, rooty toot toot, bumpy bump. Well, it's not even roots, it's just rock hard, sun baked, rutted ground. That is, it's been a really hot week, so like Jamie said, it's been sunbaked and, you know, cracked, and I just, from previous ruts, it's so hard. And then when we went out today, it was just starting to drizzle and then thunder boom. So like you said, that slick that is just forms on the top of that surface.
Yeah, you can't do anything. You put your front brake on it, your wheel slides out.
No, like, it's not even like sinking in mud or anything. No. It's like a skating rink. A very groovy, rutted, not groovy in a cool way either. just rutted. And even horses, like, we've ridden in snow where horses have been, that has been smoother than that.
Yeah, and people don't often, it's common in England, the sun-baked mud, because we have a lot of rain, and then we have a lot of hot sun for like 2 days, and then back to rain. So that surface in non-bike parks, so mountains, hills, you know, is common, so I'm pretty used to it, and I hated it then as well. It's bizarre, and you try and explain to people and they don't believe you until they walk on it and slip over, and then they're like, oh, now I see what you mean. Because there's just nothing. There's no
grip or squish or give.
Yeah, studded tires would be your only, and they just get full of mud in 2 seconds.
Right.
The only other thing I was going to say as well is, you know, Provincial Park Authority, there's trees down in there as well. Like you said, yeah, about the hike thing. It's not cool. Like, there's been down a long time. You just need to cut two grooves and make it open. And if people are walking, but it is not just a walking trail, it is a mountain bike trail as well. And it was just annoying today. It just stops everything. And I do wonder, I'm not sure if the Provincial Park people listen to this, but I do wonder if it's a deliberate act to try and slow bikes down, maybe. I just don't know. But it's just so annoying having to get off, lift your bike over. And they weren't small, were they?
No, they weren't. Well, I hate to be such a Debbie Downer about this place, because, like I said, it is truly beautiful, and it's gorgeous, absolutely. It just was not an excellent riding experience for me. Like, that surface is just not enjoyable to chitter-chatter, chomp on for pretty much the entire duration, too.
Yeah, and I would say if you're here, if you're visiting the area riding, then Queenstown, or Queenston.
Yes.
Short Hills is on the lower list. 12 Mile Creek's worth a ride. If you're here for a week and you got lots of riding opportunity, go and ride it, because some bits of it are cool. But I agree with Jessica, like, going for a hike would be a better option.
That would be my preference, because I definitely would like to visit there more and more often, and there's a lot more exploring to be done. I just think it on foot might be,
yeah, I would agree,
might be more enjoyable for me. So on a more positive note, we did identify a couple of new items today that, as I learned, the more that I learned about them, the more excited I got. So I hope you can share some enthusiasm with me. First, I'll just mention, and we already have, I believe, talked about the phlox flowers.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful today. They were out in full force, like, huge fields of them. You took some really nice photographs of them, didn't
you? Yeah, I will. I'll put some on the gallery section of our website, which I do need to add a few things to. And I will also probably use one as a thumbnail.
They were truly beautiful today. And really, the smell. Actually, that was something I really appreciated today, was the smell in there with the little bit of drizzle that had happened on the way, just to kind of bring out
everything up a bit.
Yeah, I really got some nice deep breaths of late spring scents.
That is one thing about it, in its defense, that place is, considering how close to urban areas it is, the guy strimming his lawn that suddenly thought, oh, what's that noise? But how close it is to urban areas and roads, it's pretty quiet in there, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty quiet and pretty wild.
So, just as a side note. So, anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Not at all. So, the first thing that I stumbled upon that I thought, I don't even know why, but I thought, that looks edible. So,
must be edible.
Must be edible. It has a funny name, too. It's called nipplewort. So I will try my best to pronounce the Latin name, Lapsana communis. Sorry, I couldn't read my own writing.
No, I think you're probably right. Do I use that as the thumbnail for clickbait? Nipple warts?
That could be interesting.
Could be.
So it also has a few other names. Nipple weed, or also known as dock cress or succory dock cress. So, from a distance or at a quick glance, this can look a little bit like garlic mustard. And I'm sure that that's sort of how I kind of was attracted, or how it caught my attention.
Yeah.
But again, upon closer inspection, no, it was not garlic mustard. So, the leaves form a little rosette of leaves, and they're green and elongated, round with a rounded terminal lobe, and it has smaller lobes on either side just below. And these plants flower from May to September, and they have small pale yellow flowers with sort of like, I would say, like a layered petals with serrated tips. They're quite similar looking to dandelion flowers, but mini.
Right.
And one plant, I think, can have many, many flowers. So this was kind of cool. I didn't see any flowers today. However, I did learn that the flowers only open for good weather and they close for rainy days, or they go for a big snooze by mid-afternoon. So that's why we didn't see any flowers today.
Clever.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I should live by that.
I think everybody should.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are. I can't remember growing up there was flowers that did that, but I don't know which ones they are.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not the only ones, but I thought that was...
That's pretty cool.
I thought I could get behind that schedule.
I'm going to bed. The flowers have gone to sleep.
Exactly. So the leaves are... And flowers, I believe. You know what? I'm not sure on the flowers. But I'm going to say yes on the flowers.
Right.
Maybe double check it. But the leaves, for sure, as that was only what I collected today.
The flowers were all snoozing.
They can be eaten raw or cooked, and you want to get them while they're young, as usual. And I would say they are just a tiny bit bitter or spicy, but otherwise they are quite smooth tasting, so I'm even already wondering about a pesto with some of those today for dinner.
Sounds good. New recipe coming from Jessica, by the sound of it.
And maybe some phlox flowers on top. Now I'm just dreaming. So I do have a fun fact, although I don't know how fun it sounds, about the nipple wort or nipple weed. But I suppose, you know, hence where the name comes from. I guess medicinally, this can be used or has been used to soothe irritation from breastfeeding. So there you have it.
So that probably is where the
name came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like nippleweed better than nipplewort, though. So moving along, the next one that I discovered today is called Creeping Jenny. Now, I'd like to know who Jenny is, and I did not get to the bottom of that.
Did you do some research?
I did do a little bit of research, but Jenny will remain anonymous.
I wonder what that means, then. Because, again, growing up in England, there's a little bird called a Jenny Wren, which lives in hedgerows. I wonder if there's some other... I'm not looking that up, but I wonder if there's some other meaning of that, maybe.
Well, Jenny gets around.
She does.
So, I will again try to pronounce the Latin name. Lysimachia, or Lysimachia numularia. And this is an invasive species, so, it's a creeper, all right. And Creeping Jenny is in the primrose family, so it is an evergreen, a perennial evergreen, which I think that we might add some to our backyard to creep along the trellis.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea.
I think so. Not... Well, hear me out, and we'll see if you're sold by the end of it or not. So, other names are moneywort, herb twopence, or two penny grass, which I liked all of those. And the leaves on this creepy crawly are small and shiny rounded leaves, and they grow in opposite pairs. And I guess just based on the leaves and the Latin name, the Latin numularia means like a coin. So again, this is hence referring to the leaves, and I guess where it gets its other names.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yes. So the flowers are on this plant are cup-shaped yellow flowers, and they bloom in the summer months from June to August, and I believe they have 5 petals. So you can eat the flowers and the young tender tips, but not the stems. So imagine that, Jamie. A nice creepy crawling vine, evergreen, year-round, in the back that we can go clip a few leaves and flowers in the summer from.
Well, we can have a look.
Talk about your all-time multi-tool. True. Very true.
In a year's time, everything is now covered in Creepy Jenny, or whatever she's called. Creeping Jenny.
Maybe that's what it's called. Creeping Jenny. Maybe Jenny was kind of creepy.
Creepy Jenny out in the garden. I'm not going out there in the dark.
Oh, dear. So, you can also make a digestive and calming tea. There are anti-inflammatory properties, and it also has calming effects. It promotes relaxation, reduces anxiety, and aids with sleep. And also is great externally for healing wounds like bruises or irritations. So you can use that topically.
Sounds like I need to bathe in it.
Yeah, probably. Just go roll in a patch of Creepy Jenny. So next, along with Creeping Jenny, next on my list to find is Creeping Charlie.
Are they related?
Maybe they were cousins.
Oh, dear.
So those were our edible finds today.
Yeah, you did well today because there was no morels, despite looking. We did find a few old pheasant backs, but I guess we're coming to the end of that period of time right now.
I don't know if we're coming to the end or not.
Maybe a little bit longer, depending on where you are, but the ones we're finding now seem to be a bit older.
That's also, what. Too, things have been early this year, too, with... just who knows?
All over the place.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add?
Oh, yes. I would like to add that we have not been, I'd like to make this clear, we have not been slacking on the consumption of ice cream.
Oh, true.
Let me tell you, we have only been not out for it as much due to seasonality and a lot of folks not consuming ice cream every day of the year.
Lack of demand.
Yes. So I think we would like to report on a lovely gelato shop. So we would like to have a quick little review of Gelato Village, which is not too far from Short Hills. It's on Pelham Street, just south of Regional Road 20. So, yeah, just a little ways south of Short Hills. And we've driven past a number of times, and they seem to have been closed or operating on
winter hours.
Yeah, off-season, shorter hours. So now I'm happy to report that I do believe that they are open until 10 p.m. every day now.
From the bike riding point of view.
Yes.
Before you get into the rest of the review, depending on your timing, there is parking outside, which is good if you've got bikes on the back of your car, just as a side note.
Excellent point.
As I spend most of my time fretting about our bikes on the back of the car, so.
Good point, as well as there's a little patio, so you could
sit out front and keep an eye, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yes, good, decent little parking scenario, nice little patio scenario, much better hours now that it's summertime, and now on to the gelato. So, how many flavors would you say they had?
20.
That's what I would have guessed also. First thing I will say that does raise a slight bit of concern with me was the fact that they only had waffle cone on offer at this time. At this time, so I don't know if that means next time they might have restocked the other types of cones. I'm always after the regular, or if it's a waffle jobber only.
Or the serving person was heading for a career in politics, because we asked her a direct question, which was, do you have wafer cones? And she said, no, not at this time, which was kind of...
left me hanging.
A little bit, yeah. And then
so
we,
true.
We couldn't qualify, because it then got busy.
True. So I did not get to the bottom of that, in case anyone is on the same page as I am. Or, I'm sure lots of people also love waffle cones, and they are quite special, but I'm more interested in the ice cream than the vehicle, as I'm sure everyone knows. So, side note there, just know what you're getting yourself into. And the flavor selection, there was a few standouts, but otherwise kind of your typical suspects. But I would say a very good quality gelato ice cream.
Yeah, I would agree.
And the price was reflected. It was a bit of an indulgent splurge.
Yeah, it's more like Toronto pricing than regional Ontario pricing, I would
say.
Right.
But what flavors did you have?
I had pineapple and raspberry.
Strawberry.
It was... the ice cream was good enough. I don't know that it's particularly a place I would hang out on a regular basis.
Right. Well,
I mean, that's just my opinion. I think if you sit out on the patio is a better idea, but sitting inside, it's perhaps not the most relaxing. I don't know. We've been there a few times and I've always had the same feeling about it, which is
doesn't quite feel like an anything goes kind of place.
It feels like posh downtown Toronto, which might be the image they're going for. It doesn't feel like people on holiday, you know, having a good time, if you see what I mean. It's not trying to use... It's just not... I felt like I needed to put a shirt and trousers on to go in there, not be in there in shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
That's probably, which might be the image they're going for, which is fair enough.
Well, okay. So back to the ice cream. You stole one of my flavors. I was going to go for the pineapple, which I did sample and was top shelf.
Yeah, we swapped. You went for the creamy stuff. I went for less creamy yesterday.
Yeah, I normally like to go one and one, but anyways, I went for the triple espresso and pistachio, and both very good. Particularly the pistachio was not the, you know, food coloring.
No.
Strange colored green, which I have no problem with, but no, it was like proper tasted, like shelled salted pistachios. It was delightful. Like,
no, it was quite good. It was excellent. Yeah, no, it was excellent.
What I am most curious to know about that place moving forward and future visitations is, do they rotate their flavors and come up with new ones?
Yeah, or not.
Or not, because that will be the determining factor if I'm a repeat customer.
Which does lead us on to another question, which we might ask the listeners, which is...
What's that?
Well, you did ask me the question yesterday about...
Oh, yeah.
...best ice cream in Canada so far.
Yes.
So, it may or may not be useful, let me know, but... We might do an episode on exactly that, which is, you know, best ice cream place we've been to in Canada in the last 3 years. And let you know why. But let us know if that would be of interest or not.
Sounds good.
We can kind of half link it to the bike trails that are in the area, so we keep a bit consistent. But that might be a future episode.
Not entirely sure where you're going with that, but hey, talking about ice cream, or better yet, sampling ice cream, I'm in. So then, that's that on the ice cream. Anything else?
Get lost.